come with expectation, waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord.
Friends, God is waiting to hear from us through our prayers and our praise worship. Please stand as you can and draw near to the one who draws near to us. Sing with us this morning. Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. Once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. I'm with you, and as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are. Every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. Never left my side, though my heart is torn. I will praise you in this storm. I remember when I stumbled in. Gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands, praise the God who
Listen to these words from the psalmist. We've taken refuge in you, Lord. Don't ever let us be put to shame.
Deliver and rescue us by your righteousness. Bend your ear towards us and save us. Be our rock of refuge where we can always escape.
You commanded that our lives be saved because you are our rock and our fortress.
O God, rescue us from the power of the wicked. Rescue us from the grip of the wrongdoers and oppressors. Because you are our hope, Lord, one we've trusted since childhood.
From birth, we've depended on you. May our praise always be about you. Now hear us as we worship and prepare us to hear your response.
Please sing with us. Pray with me now. Eternal light, shine in our hearts. Eternal goodness, deliver us from evil. Eternal power, be our support. Eternal wisdom, scatter the darkness of our ignorance. Eternal pity, have mercy on us and hear our prayers. That with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, we may seek your face and be brought by your infinite mercy to your holy presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Would you turn and greet those around you, welcoming them this morning? Good morning and welcome to Newburgh United Methodist. I'm Chris Nunley, your lead pastor. Great to be with you today on another beautiful day to gather in this house of God to share in this time of worship. Thank you for your voices this morning and how they were lifted up. Just a couple of brief announcements to remind us of what's going on in the life of the church. Number one is this flap inside your bulletin. We ask that you please tear it out, fill it out, drop it in the offering plate so that we know that you're here today. It's very important that we know that, that you're here. There's several announcements in the bulletin. There's a lot going on in the life of the church. There always is. We begin Lent in a week from Wednesday. There's some special events going on Ash Wednesday. We have four different times during the day where you can come and receive the ashes on Ash Wednesday at 6 in the morning, at 9 in the morning, at noon, and also then our service then is at 6 or 7 o'clock on the 13th of February. We'll hope you'll join us at one or two or more of those times if you wish on Ash Wednesday. And then we have a study that we'll begin together that week as well, studying the book, Who is This Man? By John Ortberg. If you haven't picked up a book, we will have those books available starting next week. We have both the book, also a participant's guide, and a video curriculum for most of our Sunday schools and small groups that are going to be sharing in this study. So we'd love for you to be a part of that. And invite your friends, those people who haven't been around for a while, invite them to participate with you as well. A really critical study that we're going to be doing together. In your bulletin, you'll just notice a couple other things that are really important. Our special care person today is Linda Hoover. If you'd like to write her a note, we invite you to do that and drop it in the offering plate a little bit later on. We're also praying for our mission team that left yesterday for Guatemala. Pastor Todd, the Kineps, and Joe Williams all left yesterday morning early, and they arrived safely in Guatemala yesterday afternoon. So we're praying for their safety as they learn about this mission project that we're just getting ready to launch. Along with them in partnership with Mission Guatemala. So pray for their safety while they're there, for their gaining of knowledge and wisdom while they're there, and then also a safe journey home later this week. Also, just to announce, if you had not heard, Vicki Baskett, member of our congregation, passed away this week. Her funeral services are tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Alexander's Chapel, at North Chapel. So we invite you, if you'd like to participate in that, that's at 11 o'clock tomorrow, followed by the internment there. Also, today, if you'd like to do visitation, it's today at Alexander's North Chapel from noon until 5. So that's Vicki Baskett's funeral. We're praying for her family during this week. Several other things I'll let you take a look at yourselves. One other quick thing I will say before we continue to worship, and that is in the back, if you did not get a chance to pick up your Faith Promise commitment card, we do have those available. They're right there in the back next to the tech booth, next to the prayer box. If you have not made a faith promise for this coming year, we invite you still to do that. Last week was our Faith Promise Sunday. We had a great turnout. We had a great speaker from our mission that we sponsor in Tanzania, Lowell and Claudia Wirtz. They did a great job of sharing with us last Sunday. But if you would like to make a commitment, there's still plenty of time to do that. I will say that the goal was $42,000 for this coming year's Faith Promise. It was a big goal. Well, I will tell you today that they surpassed the $42,000 goal in pledges and faith promise last week, which is great news. But it doesn't mean that we're finished. If you'd still like to make a pledge, you can do that. And that means every dollar over and above the pledges that were the plan that we had means there's other missions that we can support that we didn't plan on for this year. So that's good news, and we thank you for your commitments to that. And then this morning, you'll notice our table is set for Holy Communion. A little later in the service, we'll make an invitation. And we want you to feel free to share with us this morning. In our tradition, United Methodist tradition, our table is called an open table. All may partake of this communion as it's shared this morning. You don't have to be a member here or anywhere for that matter. All you have to have is a desire to meet Christ. So this morning, we want to invite you a little later on that when we make that invitation, that you follow the usher's directions, that you come forward, receive the bread, touch it to the surface of the cup, and eat with great thanksgiving. The kneelers will be here if you'd like to stop and spend some time in prayer. We invite you to do that. It's a great day to share in the Lord, to know that there's nothing that can keep us away from Him. Your worthiness or unworthiness, your feelings of righteousness or not, your feelings of guilt, nothing should separate us from this love of Christ. So we invite you this morning, don't let anything keep you from experiencing the fullness of Christ as He welcomes you to the table this morning. It's good to be with you, friends. I invite the children now to join me down here. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? Are you good? Yeah, I hope so. I hope you're good. It's a good day. It's good to be here in church today together. And we're talking about something really important today. We're talking about prayer. And my question for you this morning is, what kind of things do you guys pray about? What kind of things do you pray to God? What do you ask God? Yes. Okay, so we say thank you to God for the blessings. Very good. What else do we pray to God? Do you ask God for anything? You ask God to bless your food when you eat at a meal, maybe? What else might you ask God? To help us love or help others love us? Yeah. Okay, so we can pray for those who are poor, those who are hurt, those who are sick, and maybe ask for healing and that they might get well. Yes. Okay, we pray for God that maybe God might show himself to us so that we can see him and know him. Anything else that you pray for or pray about? Well, let me ask you this. Do you ever ask your parents for things? We don't pray to our parents, but we do ask our parents for things, right? Yeah? Yeah? You ask your, okay, you ask your parents for toys. What else do you ask your parents for? A puppy? Okay. Yeah? What else do you ask your parents for? Ask your parents for lunch, that they take care of you? Very good. Now, let me ask you this. Do your parents ever give you something different than what you ask for?
Yes.
Wow. Do you think we ask sometimes and our parents just look at us and say, oh, I don't think so. I don't think we can do that. But they give you something else instead, don't they? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes we ask for things that we want, but sometimes our parents give us things that we really need instead, or they give us something different than we expect. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, God does the same thing. We ask God for things sometimes, and while we want God to ask or answer our prayers, sometimes instead of answering the prayers the way we want, God answers them differently. We might ask for one thing, but God gives us something very different. We might ask for God to be really present with something, or we may ask God for something that we really think we need, and God might give it to us, but something very different. That's how prayer works. God works in mysterious ways, we say, and sometimes we don't know how God's going to answer our prayers, but we know this, that God always hears our prayers, doesn't he? He always hears what's going on with us. He knows what we need, even before we ask. And when we pray, we might just get something even more than we ever asked for, because that's the way God works. God can do all things, and he can give us even more than we can ever ask or imagine. So let's pray together. God, we do ask for things from you and from our parents at times, and sometimes we don't know why we ask for things, or that maybe we're not very smart in asking sometimes, but we know that you always look out for our best, and just like our parents who give us what we need, not what we ask, you do the very same thing. So help us, God, to ask you for everything, but expect what you really want to give us. For we give you thanks for that opportunity of loving you and being loved by you back. In the name of Christ, amen. Thank you, boys and girls.
Listen for the word of God from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 17 through 22. Lazarus was gravely ill when Jesus had been requested to come and help by Mary and Martha. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was a little less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to comfort Mary and Martha after their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask, God will give you." This is God's word for God's people. Please be seated.
Our series this morning on the questions about why. We'll finish it up next week before we begin our new series, then at the first part of Lent. We've been looking at some hard questions in these last couple weeks, and it's really challenging. There's many more questions that we could have asked. We could have spent all year asking some hard questions of the Scriptures, trying to find some answers to some of our toughest questions, theologically, practically, because sometimes the Bible gives us some pretty good answers. Other times we're a little disappointed with what the Scriptures might say to us. So we'll see where this one leads us this morning. We're going to talk about the question, why doesn't God answer my prayers? So as we begin to think about this morning, I want to invite you to just bow your heads and pray with me. God, be present among us this morning that we might hear from you, that we might experience your fullness, that we might experience your will, your work, your plan. Lead us, God, in this moment together. That in the midst of our meditation, in the midst of our thinking and wondering, maybe, just maybe, you'll speak to us something we need to hear, something we long to hear. So use us in these moments this morning to just consider what you're saying to us. Help us to hear the story and what is coming after it. And use us in this moment of meditation. Use those who listen in with us on the internet, and use me especially, so that what we hear this day is nothing less than the very word you speak, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Why, oh why, doesn't God answer our prayers? I mean, it's that we had no hope at the beginning of the season. They expected the Colts maybe to win 3 games. And then somewhere about the first third of the season, something shifted. And we started to win. And then our hopes that were dashed at the beginning were now looking up. And then week after week, another win under the belt. And now all of a sudden, the playoffs, which were not a possibility, now became a great possibility. If they kept on this streak, you know what? They could win the Super Bowl. I wonder if we prayed hard enough today. I just wonder. I mean, it says God can do all things. Nothing is impossible for God. So maybe, just maybe, if we pray hard enough today, the Colts will still win the Super Bowl this year. Okay, probably not. I'm a Colts fan. I'm a big Colts fan. And we often pray for things as silly as football games. I never pray for football games or sporting events. I saw a cartoon the other day about two football teams, each of them praying before the game. And then it shows a picture of Jesus sitting in a chair with a TV in front of him watching hockey. I don't think God gives a rip about our football games at all. There's too many people praying on both sides of the field this morning for the outcome of this afternoon, and God doesn't care. I don't think that God's going to be in charge of winning the Super Bowl. Definitely the Colts aren't going to win. No matter how impossible it might seem and how possible God can do all things, I don't think this one's going to happen. Not today, anyway. So, just to think for this minute. The reason I wanted to do this morning, just to get us thinking a little bit, because there are times when we ask God some impossible things. Things that we know the outcome can't work in our favor. The outcome can't work in ways that we expect it to, but yet we still pray it. And we wonder then, when it doesn't come about, God, where have you been? Why don't you answer my prayer? In fact, I think we ask that question about God a lot. God, why don't you answer my prayers? But that's not the real question that we ask. It's not that, God, why don't you answer my prayers? It's that, God, why don't you answer my prayers exactly in the way that I want you to answer my prayers? That's really what we mean most of the time when we say, God, why don't you answer my prayers? So when we ask that question this morning, there's a lot of thought about God and about what it means to pray. And in fact, I think this is one of the most difficult questions for us to consider. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? In fact, in the study that I've done, not only for this coming or last couple of weeks, but for the last 20 or more years of my life in ministry and my faithfulness, I've tried to answer those questions, looking at the scriptures, trying to discover, how does God answer prayer? How can we pray in certain ways and God respond in ways that are positive to me, that helps the outcome of my life? Because the promises of Scripture say that if you ask for anything in my name, if you ask for anything in faith, if you have difficult things, Jesus even goes on to say to the disciples that you must not only pray, but pray and fast for these things to come about. And yet it's been my experience that sometimes no matter how much prayer, no matter how much faith, no matter how much struggle, no matter how much fasting, no matter how many times we ask, God still answers in the negative or seemingly doesn't answer us at all. Then that's a challenge. It's a challenge for us because we want to trust in God. We want to trust in God's promises. We want to believe what it is that God's doing in all the words of Jesus. But there are times when it really makes it difficult, when we want something from God, and it may not even be all that selfish. But when God doesn't answer in the way we expect or the way we hope or the way that we feel God has promised, it kind of puts us in a place where we may not trust God in the way that we should or that we did before. When God doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we ask, we often take it out on God and we choose not to trust anymore. And then there are other times when we pray and we're just not sure we trust God anyway. It's not that we've prayed big prayers and God hasn't responded, but there are times when we're not really sure that God would answer our prayers if we prayed them anyway, so we don't even pray them. There are big things in the midst of our lives and even some of the little tiny things that we want God to be a part of, and yet we don't turn it over to God. We don't ask God about it because we're not sure we trust God enough with the answers anyway. So why doesn't God answer my prayer? Sometimes just because we don't ask. Or we're afraid to ask. Or we're afraid for the answer. So what does Scripture say to us this morning about how do we go about getting some answers for us? Not just answers to prayer, but the answers to the question. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? In Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, it says something like this. Ask, seek, and knock. You know the passage. Ask what you need. Knock and the door will be open, because God wants to give us all kinds of things. And it goes on to say that even as parents, you don't give to your children. If they ask for a fish, you don't give them a scorpion or a snake. If they ask for an egg, you don't give them something else, something that might harm them instead of something for good. And so God gives us in the same way. God gives us the kind of things that we need, but it even goes on to say just trust God with our prayers, our requests, and see what good gifts God wants to give those who ask, it says. I wonder, though, sometimes the problems with our prayers, though, even especially the ones that we call unanswered, is in too often we don't give God enough room for creativity in our answers either. We want something from God, and so we expect certain things to happen in certain ways, in certain priorities, in certain order. And when God delays a little bit, when God tarries a little, when God gives us something different than what we asked for, we often just say or chalk that up to, well, God really wasn't listening. God's not paying attention. God doesn't really care about my needs. Sometimes we put too many parameters around the very answers that we're supposed to be getting. Something like, God, I really need a car. I need to get myself to and from work, and I really don't care what it looks like as long as it's, you know, a late model, a two-seater, red, preferably convertible, low miles. Maintenance reports all completed on it. I need new tires and all of that stuff, you know, so it's got stripes and chrome wheels. And that's the kind of parameters we often put on God, and God wants to give us something different than what we expect. Sometimes we even have this plan all worked out. We know how best that our circumstance can be solved. But yet there are times when we seek healing, but yet we refuse to go to the doctor. And God is saying, come on, get up, do something about it. There are times we want to win a game, but we don't play with passion because we just expect God that will answer our prayers and that we'll win. We want to ace a test without studying. We're just going to show up and God's going to help us. We want to become successful, but we don't really want to work all that hard or sacrifice very much. We want to find direction, but yet we refuse to change direction. We want to find forgiveness, and God recognizes that we don't want to forgive, even though we want forgiveness. And we want to repent. We pray for repentance, and yet we don't fully face God in the process. Sometimes the answers to our prayers are in the prayers themselves. But other times, and I want to repeat, other times, we pray with all of our heart, with all of our faith, with all that's within us, and the answers still don't come. Several years ago at our church in Crown Point, we had got to know a young couple in our church. What an amazing young couple that they were, Dave and Naomi. They lived just around the corner from us out in the country, away from the church, and they were fantastic people. He was a contractor, and they were just good-natured young family. We got to know them really well, not only on as a pastor and parishioner basis, but really as friends. We spent some time together, and we watched their kids. They had three beautiful children. And then they discovered that they were pregnant with their fourth, a little girl. She was born on Peggy's birthday. They became best friends. This little one and Peggy were just the best of friends. This little girl with this strawberry red hair was just a delight when she'd come into the church. She just loved everybody. She had to hug everybody all the time. She was just one of those beautiful children. I'll never forget the phone call that I received not long after. It was about 3 years later after her birth. She was just a three-year-old, maybe a little later. But I got a phone call from one of the young men in our church who was a firefighter. And he had just heard over the radio that there was a call, and he thought it was really close to their house. He said, you might want to go check it out. Well, it happened to be I was off that day. It was a Friday, and I wasn't at the church. I was at home, which means I was really close to their house. And so I grabbed Peggy, and we jumped in the car, and we drove around the corner. We heard the sirens. And we arrived not long after the ambulance had pulled up. They already had Maddie on the stretcher trying to revive her. You see, she was outside playing with her siblings in the pool. And they had gotten tired of playing in the pool. They decided to get out. And as they got out of the pool, they took off their life vests and they started to play in the yard. But Maddie probably wasn't finished quite yet. So her siblings went off to play and they didn't miss her for just a couple of minutes. But that's all it took for her to fall in the pool and find her a couple minutes later, face down. Now, the good news is that they found, as they found her, it was only a couple of minutes, and they thought maybe there's some hope, and they did begin to revive her, and they raced her to the emergency room, and we followed right behind her with Mom in our car. We get to the emergency room at the hospital, and they say that she's really critical. They're going to have to take her to Chicago, and so the helicopter came and loaded her up and rushed her off to Chicago, and we followed right behind. And for the next week, we prayed. We prayed for miracles. We prayed for hope. We prayed for something in the midst of this tragic, awful circumstance that somehow God might intervene in this. And she was breathing, not on her own, but she was breathing. There was life left in her somehow. She had so much hope in the midst of this family. This was such a beautiful girl. And their hopes were dashed. She lived about a week. We were there the day that she took her last breath. Dad was holding her in the chair next to the bed. And it was at that moment that the trust in God, not only for Dave and Naomi and their children, but for us a little bit, waned a little. Maybe a lot. There was no doubt in our minds that God could heal her. There was no lack of faith from anybody that ever came in that room, including the physicians. There was no lack of faith, these Christian doctors that cared for her as well. There was no lack of faith. There was no lack of misunderstanding of what God could do. We believed everything that God promised to us, and so we prayed that. We prayed for healing. We prayed for hope. We prayed that somehow, in the midst of all this, somehow she would just wake up. Life would get back to normal. But it didn't happen that way. I still can't answer why. Why God didn't answer our prayers in the way that we wanted that day and those days after, and even the days after that, the weeks after that, the months after that. I know that Dave and Naomi and their children continue to grieve, although they began to see some new things through this experience and this life that they've lost. They still cherish Madison, by the way. She's still a part of their family. She may not be around, but they watch pictures of her and movies, and they still celebrate her life. They recognize that even though they didn't have her for a long time, but they did have her, and she was still a blessing, and she was still a part of their family. They've grown a lot since those days. It's been several years ago now. So have I. I'd love to say that I've got all the answers to it, and I know exactly why God didn't answer our prayers that day, but quite simply, sometimes God just doesn't. We don't know God's plan. We don't know God's direction. We don't know why. And sometimes it's just hard to wonder, what are you doing, God? Can I trust you? It's the same question that Mary and Martha were really asking of Jesus when they called to get Lazarus made well again. They called on Jesus when he was quite a ways away. Lazarus was still alive. He was gravely ill, but he was still alive when they called on Jesus. In essence, it was their prayer to him. Come, Jesus, come, because Lazarus is sick. Your friend, our brother, is very sick. It doesn't say it, but the implication is, we know you can heal him. Now, what does Jesus do? He kind of hangs out where he's at. He doesn't get on the road right away and show up at his bedside and say the right prayers or whatever it is that Jesus does. Doesn't touch him with his healing touch and let Lazarus rise from his bed. Then he waits a few days, and then he waits a few days longer. And it says by the time Jesus arrived, he'd already been in the grave for 4 days. Now, we don't know what the timeline is between when they called Jesus and when he arrived. We don't know how long Lazarus remained alive during that time, but it could have been as much as just a few days. It could have been more than a couple of weeks that way Jesus waited. Why does he do that? Even when Mary and Martha show up, it's amazing to me that this story, because when Mary and Martha, or when Jesus shows up, it says Martha ran out to meet Jesus. And we know the story of Mary. Mary is the one that always is sitting at the feet of Jesus, right? She's the one that anoints Jesus with her hair. She loves Jesus so much. She wants to do as much as she can to sit at his feet. But on this day, she stayed at the house when she knew Jesus was coming. She was hurt. She was angry. She was disappointed. You would have expected her, in the way that we know Mary and her profile, to be the first one to meet Jesus, but she's not. And even when Martha gets there, what does she do? She reprimands Jesus in a sense. If you'd only been here, she said. Their prayers weren't answered. Now we know the rest of the story, that Jesus does go to the grave and he does call Lazarus up out of the grave, and there is a great healing, a resuscitation of Lazarus's body, and it's a pretty amazing feat, but their prayers went unanswered for a long time, even though they got what they wanted. But sometimes I've discovered that God doesn't always answer our prayers that way. God doesn't always bring those answers to us, whether it's a little bit now and a little bit later, or if we wait long enough, we're going to see everything that we've prayed for come about. It doesn't always work that way. Reality is, God works on God's time. And he's asking us to be a part of this environment, be a part of this dialogue of prayer and hope and trust and results. You see, God doesn't just give us the answers, but he helps us with the answers. You see, God doesn't just want us to ask him and then be receiving of what God wants to give. God wants us to be involved in this process all along the way. God wants us to trust what he is, trust in God's creativity, trust in God's understanding of the future and what we really need over what we really just want. Oh yeah, God answers prayers. God answers all kinds of prayers. And really quickly, God answers often lots of prayers that we pray. God will answer prayers about asking for God's kingdom to come. If we pray that prayer in the Lord's Prayer, that's something that God is ready to do. Can't wait to do that for us. God wants to give us our daily bread. Now, that may not mean that God's just going to give us all of that we need, but God's going to provide it for us in some way, shape, or form. God's going to forgive us when we ask for forgiveness. And even lets us set the parameters for what that forgiveness looks like. And God will protect us when we ask him. And sometimes, when we ask for those big things, when we ask for the mysterious things, the hard things, the big things, the miracle things, sometimes, but just sometimes, without warning or the pomp and circumstance that the events may seem to require, the miraculous, the improbable, the breathtaking moments where all of heaven and earth and natural law and logical progression seem to stop, and the circumstances are changed even ever so slightly to alter the outcome of an event in our lives because of a simple prayer. But we recognize that sometimes these answers that God gives and we want so desperately are often as uncommon as the miracles were even in Jesus' day. Sometimes God just doesn't answer the way we want. Oh, God is answering our prayers. Hear me, friends. God is answering your prayers. Not a single utterance of prayer goes unheard. I know God hears our prayers. Whether we're righteous or we're not, whether we're the most sinful person in the world, God is hearing our prayers. God knows whether those prayers are honest and true, and God hears everyone and answers them in certain ways. All kinds of ways. But we know God is answering your prayers and mine. Maybe even more loudly and clearly than we've ever imagined. Maybe we're just not ready to hear the answers God is giving. Or maybe we're not ready to accept the ramifications of the answers that God's trying to give us. Maybe we're afraid of the answers. In James, it says we don't have because we don't ask. Sometimes, quite simply, we just are afraid of what God might give us if we ask for it. The truth is, God knows what we need even before we ask. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. It says, God may want to provide everything we ask for, sometimes even more than we can imagine. We just have to trust him. But God especially wants us to ask, to talk with God, to lean on God, to trust in the outcomes of God, to listen for God's word and answers, so that the answers aren't taken for granted. We really need to listen, because God wants to celebrate with us the answers that God is giving us. God wants to mold us in the midst of our prayer life. God wants to change the outcomes that seem so tragic to us. God works with us in this environment. God does not work for us, but with us. So when we, as Jesus says in Matthew, in John 15, when we abide in him, when we live inside of his promise, inside of God's trust, inside of Christ's presence, and he lives in us, things happen in the midst of that dialogue. Things happen in the midst of our prayers. Things happen with answers that come. Yes, God is hearing our prayers, and God is answering. It's challenging when God doesn't answer in the way that we want, but God is answering. God's not going to make the Colts win the Super Bowl today. God may not even take away all the pain and struggle that you're finding yourself in right this moment. But God's hearing, God is answering. Our challenge is to not lose hope, to not lose trust in a God that knows so much better than we do the outcome and the possibilities and the creativity of God's own hand. Why doesn't God answer our prayers? It's because we can't see as fully as he does, and he's waiting for us to trust him. So let's come before God. Let's offer our hurt and pains. Let's offer him our unbelief and our doubt. Let's offer God our honesty, which means we have to be honest with ourselves too, about who we are and what we believe, about the mistakes that we've made or are making even right now, or how well or how poorly we care for others. So in this spirit of openness and trust, let us offer our prayers to God as we pray this prayer together. Merciful God, you know us better than we know ourselves, but we have not believed this. You care about us even when we do not love ourselves, but it is hard for us to accept. We see so dimly and hear your words so faintly that we doubt your truth. We dare not trust the prophets or risk the cost of discipleship. We are afraid to believe, hope, and endure when there is suffering all around us. Oh God, grant us courage to change, to follow Jesus in spite of the threat of ridicule or rejection, and keep us from insisting on our own ways, which may not be your ways. Friends, I invite you to pray with me in this continued time of silence. Pray your own prayers of confession. Friends, hear the good news. God does not condemn us for our imperfection, nor abandon us to our fears. For the one who designed our being promises to be with us when we're challenged, to deliver us when it seems the whole world is against us, to love us at all times and in all circumstances. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You're healed and empowered to live your life and to fulfill your ministry in the world and in God's kingdom. Oh, gracious God, we're grateful for these promises that we hold on to so dearly and so tightly. We know, God, that we don't always get the answers that we want to our prayers, but even in the midst of those, we need to trust you. You want us to trust you because you've got something better in mind. We've called upon you today, recognizing that we praise you even in the midst of our storms. Well, help us to take that and make it true in our lives, to trust you no matter what happens. So hear us, dear God, our prayers for ourselves, our families, our church, our world. We pray for our mission team in Guatemala, for those who are in need this morning, the Basket family. We pray for Linda. Pray for so many others that are listed in our prayer. You know them all, and you know our secrets. So God, hear our prayers this morning, for we give them to you in trust that your creative hand could do far much more than we can ever imagine. We trust that today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Friends, as people forgiven, loved, and free, we invite you to give back to God as our ushers serve us this morning.
Troubles chasing me again, breaking down my best defense. I'm looking, God, I'm looking for you. Weary just won't let me rest. Fear is filling up my chest. I'm longing, God, I'm longing for you. But I will find you in the place I'm in. Find you where I'm at my end. Find you where there's nothing left of me to offer you except for brokenness. You lift me up, you never leave me thirsty. Sorrow shakes my faith, and what if heartache still remains? I'll trust you, my God, I'll trust you, 'cause you are faithful, and I will find you in the place I'm in, find you when I'm at my end, find you when there's nothing left of me to offer you except.
want to invite my communion servers, if you'd come join me this morning, as we begin to consider this moment together, where we can experience this fullness of Christ this morning. That maybe in the midst of our failure to trust Him, that maybe in this moment we can find some new opportunity to trust a little bit more. Jesus' life was so filled with challenges, and the disciples' lives were just beginning to understand what those challenges were looking like as they went to that night and shared with Jesus around the table. They wouldn't even begin to understand the prayers that they had offered to Jesus, the hopes that they had for Him to live and lead and grow up with them and change the future of Israel. Their prayers weren't answered in the way that they expected, but even better than they could ever hoped. As they sat around the table that night, Jesus told them what the answers really looked like. He said, "It looks like this. It's a loaf of bread, and it's going to be broken. And in the midst of that, you're going to share in it, share in my brokenness. And as you share in the breaking of the bread," Jesus told His disciples, "you'll find something powerful, redeeming." Then He took the cup, and after giving thanks for it, He gave it to His disciples, and He said, this is more than just a glass of wine. They were used to doing that at the Seder meal. But Jesus said, this is more than that. This is a new covenant cup. It's a new promise cup. It's a promise that is about blood poured out. It doesn't sound like an answer to prayer, but it really is. It's the greatest answer to prayer, the greatest answer to our hopes. Jesus said, because if you drink of this, you'll find forgiveness. Gracious God, as we come before You this morning to share this bread and this cup, we know that they represent for us something very mysterious. It's not bread, it's the body of Christ. It's not juice or wine, it's His very blood poured out for us for the forgiveness of sin. And we are the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. So unite us in this moment this morning to receive this gift and to renew our strength, to renew our faith, to renew our prayer so that we can trust You evermore. We thank You, God, for never giving up on us and always being present with us. And in this moment, especially now, that You can draw us ever near. For we give You thanks in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, who taught us when we pray to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Body of Christ, broken for us, and the blood of Jesus Christ, shed for us. Thanks be to God. Our Christ invites to His table all who want to meet Him. We invite you this morning to follow the direction of the ushers, to come forward and receive the bread, touch it to the surface of the cup, and eat with great thanksgiving. As our communion servers make their way down here to the steps, follow the direction of the ushers. If you do require gluten-free elements, we have those available just at the asking. So please just ask when you come forward. We'll provide those for you. Come, meet Christ this morning.
Let's stand together. Thank you. Let's pray. God of all grace, we thank you for your gift this moment and of this gift of communion. You do something amazing in it and mysterious in it always. So God, may we take what it is that you have to offer this morning, and may we trust you with our whole lives. We give you thanks for what you're doing, even in this moment and in the moments to come. Because you are God and we are not, and we need you more than ever. We give you thanks in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Let's sing together.
Christmas Eve, as a reminder to us that Christ is present with us in the midst of this world. We'll have that candle lit every day now until Good Friday. But it's a reminder to us. This God that has given so much promise to us is always there. Even if we're not hearing him in the answers, even if we can't see him in our lives, God's always promised to be present and will never leave us nor forsake us. He just asks us to pray and trust him, because the outcome will always be better when God's involved than when we are. Go in faith this day and always in the peace of Christ. Amen.
Victory.